Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Our Ask a Pastor for this week is Pastor Alfred Machona, who's going to be talking to us about our questions throughout the week. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Very good afternoon to you. How are you?
I am very well, Mfundisi. Thank you very much. How are you?
Good, good. No complaints. No complaints at all.
Lovely, lovely, Mfundisi. Mfundisi, you're ready for our question for today, yeah?
Sure, let's get going.
Our question for today is, how do you reconcile the apparent contradictions in biblical accounts, such as the Gospels?
Thank you so much. A very interesting and a question that always pops up in so many discussions in Bible or biblical hermeneutics. Actually, biblical hermeneutics is the art of interpreting scripture. And basically, there are various tools that can be used to unlock some of these issues. And one key is called sola scriptura. I think this is prominent. You've heard a lot about it. That is, let the Bible interpret itself. You know, it's a Latin term, sola scriptura. Let the Bible interpret itself. So, number one, let's look at the issue of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What is very critical, let's look at the authorship. These are four different books. Matthew was written by Matthew. He was a Jew. Mark was written by John Mark. He was also a Jew, so the history tells us. Then Luke was written by Luke. Luke was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. And then John. So these are the four authors, respectively, of these four books. So one would not expect to get same accounts or same way of narratives from these four different people, in as much as they'll be talking about Christ's ministry and other things. But we may expect some variances here and there. Why? Background itself. The background of Matthew, remember Matthew, I said he was a Jew, and the background of Luke are two different things altogether. So you may grow up in the same locality, you can grow up in Soweto, you can grow up in Cape Town. So when you are told to write about a certain thing, in as much as they are similar, there may be variants or differences here and there. It is because of the background. So background is very key. And experiences, the experiences they had with Christ, some maybe had one-on-one experiences, some were narrating, like what history tells us, that Mark was the book that was of the four Gospels. Mark was the first one to be written. And Matthew was taken from Mark and some other additionals. So that alone may give us seemingly variances or differences. Number two, we must also talk about the target group. You know, who was Matthew writing to? Being a Jew, he was writing to the Jews. And Luke, being a Gentile, he was writing to the Gentiles. So the approach, the literary way of doing it, the syntax is actually different. You know, but they'll be speaking on the same thing. So here's the differences in genealogy. I'm going to realize that the genealogy of Christ, the way Matthew expresses it and the way Luke expresses are actually different, but they are talking about the same Jesus, you know, but there are no contradictions there, but the way they approach the genealogy is different. And also, you may also need to consider the purpose, why they were writing the gospel. Why? What was the motive? Why were they writing that that gospel? It may also consider, it may also assist or aid in the way they write. Another critical thing is historical and cultural context can also lead to suppose the contradictions, the historical background, how Luke as a Gentile, the historical background, how he was brought up, how Matthew was brought up, how John was brought up. Actually, John, the book of John was written by John, the beloved disciple. You know, he was the youngest of the disciples of the 12. So he walked with Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus from day one until the crucifixion. He was actually there on the cross. So he had an experience with Christ that Luke didn't have. He had an experience with Christ that the other three didn't have. So putting those things together, you would not expect to get the same narrative, maybe word to word or passage to passage. There may be variances here and there, but they can be reconciled.
I am not quite sure, Mfundisi, if that's clear enough, at least for my simple mind. Remember, you are theologians, we are lay people, so what seems very plain to you is not always plain to us. Let's just talk about these. I understand you don't want to call them contradictions. Perhaps let's call them inconsistencies. When you're going to be told in one gospel there was one angel at the tomb, the other one says there were two angels at the tomb. One gospel says there was a demon-possessed man, and then other one says it was two demon-possessed men. You know, these That's apparent very... inconsistencies. Just let's explain why would there be inconsistencies in actuality. If there is any actuality in these pieces of literature, why would they be inconsistent? And I'll tell you why I'm asking this, Mfundis, because we believe all scripture is God-breathed. So if all these gospel writers were writing as they were inspired, then that very same inspirer, the Holy Spirit, could not be making mistakes. The inspirer could not have forgotten that, oops, I said one to the other. Wait, let me correct the other one and tell them two. It appears that there is something that needs to be explained to us as lay people so that we understand it in the same way. Just clarify that, Mfundis.
Thank you so much. For example, you spoke about at the tomb, the resurrection of Christ.
Right.
You know, if we go to the book of Matthew chapter 28, probably verse 1 to 10, the narrative is also spoken of in Mark chapter 16, verse 1 to 18, thereabout, and Luke chapter 24, I think it's verse 1 to 12, then probably John chapter 20. You are going to realize that the number of women who visited the tomb and even the appearance of angels is somewhat different, right? Now, you attend a match. You attend a match at FNB Stadium.
Right, right.
The Chiefs is playing Sundowns, right?
Yes.
I think maybe the 40,000 seater.
Yes.
Right, the 40,000 seater. Then you get in there. Maybe there are some pre-match activities. Maybe there's some... I'm a piano playing before.
Yes,
then,
yes.
After something. Now, look, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are all attending that match.
Right.
All attending that match. The other one is in Bay 1, Bay 31, Bay 32.
Yeah.
The other one, the first one enters the stadium at around 11 a.m.
Right.
The other one enters the stadium at around maybe 10 minutes before the match kicks off.
Right.
Can you expect the one who enters the stadium at 11 and the one who enters it 10 minutes before to give the same narrative?
So I'm a journalist by training. I've been a journalist for 25 years. So the simple answer for me is you don't report on something that you have no evidence of. If you didn't see it, you can't report on it. If you're going to report on it based on other people's account, you will reference those people. You will say, spectator one, who was here at 30 minutes earlier, says, spectator two, who was here an hour earlier, says, I will not claim to know. I will not claim that the Spirit of the Lord gave me this information because I'm misrepresenting now the power and accuracy of the Spirit. Let us rather defer accountability of the report to the people that you have interviewed. So you can't know things that you were not there to see. So why would these two guys who were not there write about things that they were not there to witness themselves? Huh?
Their sources are different.
Right.
Their sources are different. So when they reconcile now everything that they get, this is what they give us. You know?
Right, right.
At the end of the day, at the FNB Stadium, what was the result? The result was 2-2.
Right,
the
right.
The result was 1-0.
I know, Funis, with Kaiser Chiefs, it's never going to be 2-2. Kaiser Chiefs is going to be... they're going to be beaten 2-1 or 2-0. I'm sorry, Funis, please continue.
Okay. At the end of the day, you are going to get the result.
Right, right.
You know, the result is people. Another example is that maybe someone was at home, he was in Soweto, he was watching the game on black and white television.
Right, right.
And the other one in Hebrew was watching the game on a color television, on a flat screen.
Right, right.
Then one would tell you, Sundowns were putting on a white jersey on a black and white television. Then the other one said, no, it was not a yellow, it was not a white jersey, it was a yellow or gold jersey.
Yes.
Then Orlando Pirates, black and white, or whatever color.
Yes.
Now, the lens that he is using to watch the match,
right,
you know, it's a black and white television, you get the result at the end of the day. Let me put it 0-0 so that we don't have a fight. At
Right,
0-0,
right,
right?
Right, right, right.
The result will always be 0-0, regardless of black and white color television. What I'm trying to say is that at the end of the day, these contradictions, yes, they may seem to be contradictions.
Right.
But I don't know if you may allow me now to... There's a book that brings all these contradictions in one perspective, all these seemingly contradictions in one perspective.
Go ahead.
Books of ages.
Go ahead.
Yes. I may encourage our readers to look for that book, a soft copy or hard copy. These four Gospels are brought together.
Right.
You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And their narratives are reconciled.
Uh-huh.
You know, it is very true. The other Gospel says two demon-possessed men. The other writer says one demoniac. It is true, it is written. But does that mean that these guys were not inspired? No.
But where is, when the Holy Spirit is seeing that one is saying swallows is wearing black and white, surely the Holy Spirit should be there to say, swallows is yellow, Baba. And when the other one who's in Hebrew watching black and white saying, chiefs are wearing white, he said, no, that's not chiefs. Why is the Holy Spirit not correcting these apparent inconsistencies from this? Because we would expect, again, they are not writing their own thing. They're not writing like journalists who write from their own perspectives. They are writing because they were inspired. They are God-breathed. Why is God the Spirit not correcting them?
That is very true. God inspires the thought. God inspires the principle. Then the writer can write in his or her own way, in his or her own language, using the background that they have, the experience that they have. So the thought, they are thought inspired.
Explain that, Mpunis. What does it mean? What does it mean to inspire the thought? I'm not sure I understand.
All right. For example, we are looking at the Gospels.
Right.
Right. Which example can I give now? Which example can I be? I'm trying to look at John.
Okay.
Behold, the Son of God. Remember, Timothy will tell us all Scripture is spirit what? Spirit given.
Yeah. God
right?
breathed. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's no way that came out of the thought of man, but God inspired all men.
Right.
So whatever they write is inspired. But remember, I said their backgrounds, their experiences, they are different. That may lead to some of those seemingly contradictions. But at the end of the day, we have the result.
Okay.
You know, we have the result. What is key is that what we want. So maybe it is because of the background that they are using.
Right,
that may
right.
give us some of those seeming inconsistencies.
Okay. No, let me leave you there, Mpunis. Let me not take you around the bend. Maybe I would invite you, Mpunis, if you're willing, for us to sit down and spend 2 hours dissecting these at a different time. Is that okay, Mpunis?
I think that would be fine. What I'll need to do, I'll need to check, especially in the Gospels, I'll pick very prominent, seemingly contradictions.
Right,
then
right.
Then we can dissect.
Lovely,
yes,
lovely.
Yes.
No, Mpunis, thank you very much. I will call you at the end of this show, and then we'll schedule when we can do that, Mfundis, when you're comfortable and ready. Yeah?
That'll be fine.
Lovely.
That'll be fine.
Lovely. Thank you, Pastor Alfred
thank
Manchona.
You.
Thank you very much for your time and your insights. Oh, did we just lose the pastor? Okay, we did. All right, that was Pastor Alfred Manchona, who is our Ask a Pastor for this week. He's given us some perspectives, and you're listening to him explaining it all. I'm going to invite him for a Sinai conversation so that we can allay your fears of contradictions. I like the phrase inconsistencies as opposed to contradictions. Contradictions creates the impression of self-upheaval, internal upheaval. Inconsistencies, to me, implies there are things that we probably are not seeing correctly, so that it can be standardized, so to speak.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.